Welcome back to the Homeschool Advantage Podcast. I'm your host, Bex Buzzy. Today's guest is Brad Baldridge. Brad is a college funding specialist who has helped thousands of families plan and save for college with smart and proven strategies to save time, money, and stress. As a financial expert, blogger, and host of the Taming the High Cost of College podcast, Brad has been able to share his college planning insights with clients, subscribers, and listeners for nearly 20 years. He teaches parents the best way to save and pay for college, including how to find the right school, maximize financial aid and scholarships, avoid student loan debt, and make your child's college dreams come true without wiping your finances and retirement. Since 1998, Brad has become one of the nation's leading college planning and college financial experts. He offers life-changing advice through his private practice, his online platforms, and numerous workshops, seminars, and events each year. In this episode, we talk about how his expertise in the field of finance helps a lot of students and homeschool families in taming the high cost of college. Also, how he can teach parents the best way to save and pay for college. And lastly, how he became one of the nation's leading college planning and college financial experts. So go grab your coffee, go grab your tea and a pen and paper, because you're not going to want to miss what Brad has to say. Let's get into the podcast. Say hello to our guest and tell us, what is a fact that you feel most parents don't know about your industry?
Yeah, so I mean, there's lots of stuff, but I think one of the interesting ones would be that the average scholarship at the typical private school is now more than $20,000. So yes, private schools are expensive, but many of them are offering substantial discounts in order to attract students still.
Wow, that is awesome. I wish I know when I was going to college, that was not the case. I know that for a fact. That would have been amazing to be able to, that would have made really changed the school that I would have chosen to go to and a lot of the decisions that I would have made moving forward. So let's talk about you, Brad. What is it that you do and how do you support the homeschool community?
Right. So I have a website and podcast called Taming the High Cost of College. And it's really is materials that are focused on parents, typically parents of high school age students that are trying to figure out college. So, and it's easy to kind of explain early stage planning first, which is, you know, I've got a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, or even a middle schooler, and college is going to be someday. Maybe I should save and invest, or maybe I should plan something for college, which is always good to do. And I encourage families to do that. But once you have a high school student and now you're saying, well, we actually have to visit the colleges we're considering and we're going to have to apply and write essays and fill out financial aid forms and understand the whole process and choose loans if we need to and all that stuff. So, you know, that's the late stage side of it where there's a lot more to do. And even if you did a great job on early stage, there's still going to be a lot to do from, again, and I encourage families to start sophomore year, even freshman year, so that you have enough time to work through it and really understand, you know, what your options are and what it might cost and how your family is going to, you know, cover the costs or however that might be.
So if you were a parent, right, what would they need to start planning for and how would they get started? What should they begin to do?
Right. So I think the first things really is, you know, from a family budget, you know, spouses talking to each other is what are your goals around education? You know, many families will say things like, well, we don't want our student to have any debt, or, you know, we want to pick any school and we just want to be able to pay for it. But then when you start working the numbers and saying, well, you need to save $2,000 a month in order to make that happen, some families would say, oh, okay, so that's what we'll do. Other families would be like, that's a little steep. Maybe we're going to have to use some loans to you know, make that work. And, you know, I had a dad, he had 4 kids, and he was doing reasonably well financially, right? He had a good mid-level engineering job, but his daughter was accepted to NYU, where it cost about $70,000 per year. And the student, again, she got an above average scholarship. She got about $35,000 off, but the net cost was still $35,000. Well, $35,000 times 4 years is $140,000 times four kids is a big number. So he started, you know, so when we started working together, that was one of his questions is, can I afford to do this and still be able to retire? And, you know, what are my options? And his daughter did really well. She was interested in performing arts. So she really wanted to be at NYU right there by Broadway.
Sure.
And he wanted to, you know, again, it was his dream that she go.
Sure.
But the realist also came up and said, well, should we be doing this and can we do this and that type of thing? And ultimately she did go to NYU and we were able to figure it out. He was able to afford to help. But that's kind of where people are starting, right? Even your local state school, you know, again, for upper middle income families, right? If you're earning $75,000 plus, you're not going to get a lot of aid at most state schools. So if you're in a low cost state, that's, you know, it costs $22,000-$25,000. Or if you're in a high cost state, maybe it's $30,000-$34,000 just for your state schools these days. And that, yes, that is per year.
Wow. What are some strategies that you help families with to be able to, like, you know, plan better for this?
Right. So what it really boils down to is understanding, well, first of all, it's the net cost that matters much more than the list price. As mentioned, you know, the private schools are giving up much bigger scholarships now. So if it lists at 60,000, but they're going to give you 30,000 off, that looks very similar to the state school that might just start at 30 and you get nothing off.
Wow.
Now, granted, 30,000 in both cases is still a little bit pricey. But then you say, well, the student can work summers and earn a few thousand, and the student can borrow a few thousand, and mom and dad maybe have, you know, 20 or 30 or 50,000 already saved, and then another 500 a month, and then maybe it works. So it's certainly doable, but it's going to be a little more challenging than it used to be. I mean, I can remember when I went to college, you know, I could work in the summer as a student and between that and loans cover most of my college tuition and room and board. Today, that's just not possible. The prices have gone up such that you are going to pay more. And I've got some resources on my website that can kind of show you like the income, you know, based on your income in your state, this is what the state schools look like, and this is what the private schools look like.
Wow. And,
you know, so that's a place to start, is to realize, you know, at low incomes you get more aid, but at low incomes, if your net cost is 10,000, that's painful.
Yeah.
And if you're at high incomes and you get less aid, and if it costs 25 or 30,000, it's still painful.
Yeah. Right?
And that's kind of the way the system is designed, or I wouldn't say it's designed that way, but colleges raised the prices till it got to the point where people started pushing back and saying, if it's going to be this much, we're just not going to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they stopped raising prices. Or what a lot of private schools have done is they raise their price by $3,000 and they raise their scholarships by $2,500. So the net cost went up a little bit, not like the original. You know, so sometimes you read about, oh, the price of college is going up at this percent or that percent. And it's like, are they talking about net price, which has actually been flat for the last 2 or 3 years? Because of the pandemic and other reasons, you know, college prices have been kind of flat, but the list price went up at many schools, but so did the scholarship.
So how do you help parents, I guess, you know, find ways to save and to be able to pay for college and even potentially even still save for retirement?
Right. Well, in the ideal situation, right, you've got a retirement situation, and let's say you've got retirement plans at work or whatever it might be, and hopefully you've been contributing to them, you know, a long time now that you've been working for quite a while. If you've got high school age kids, theoretically, you've been working for a few years at least. So maybe you just continue on that. And then the college, you know, so it might, often I see things like, well, you need to be saving 12% of your salary at work, and then the company will match another 4 or 5%, and that puts you on track for retirement. And then for college, you need another $700 a month. And sometimes that's scary. Sometimes that's doable. And again, then so I have had parents say, well, we want to go to that expensive private school. And then I say, well, you need $4,000 a month. And they say, oh, okay, that's what we'll do. Again, because there's obviously, you know, some people earn more than others. And,
sure.
You know, it's one thing if you're giving up the lake home to pay for college. It's another thing if you're giving up retirement to pay for college.
True.
But a lot of times there's more affordable options. One of the biggest challenges that families run into is you don't know what the net price is going to be till you apply to the college, get accepted, and they put an offer together. Now, I'm able to help families kind of predict and understand how the scholarships might work and how need-based aid and merit aid might work. So we might be able to predict, well, at this college, you're likely to get $25,000 or $30,000 off. So yes, the sticker says 60, but in your case, it might be 28. And the state school is 22. So maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not, but it's not double or triple what the state school is. It's, you know, within reason. And if you see the value in it, then you go ahead and spend more. But sometimes people look at that and say, oh, I don't see the value. Mm-hmm. I'd rather go to the state school. And that's fine too.
Right.
But even the state schools cost most families some money.
Yeah.
Although there's lots of programs now where perhaps the tuition will be waived at certain incomes. Mm. There's scholarship programs that are on at the state level. There's need-based aid at the federal level and merit aid at some of the colleges. So really, it's kind of a patchwork of most people, you know, pay for college many different ways. Usually it's some combination of financial aid. So things like need-based aid and merit aid and scholarships, loans, student loans or other types of loans, saving and investing. Maybe the parents have, you know, been saving $300 a month for college since the kid was a baby or something, and they've got a nice pile of money, or maybe they haven't. Tax breaks. You get a lot of tax breaks around college. So if you can save $5,000 or $10,000 in taxes, well, that's then $5,000 or $10,000 you have for college.
True.
And then reduction in other expenses, right? Let's pick on cable TV. For those of us that haven't cut the cord yet, right? You have cable TV on 7 TVs or 6 TVs because you have a lot of kids running around, and that's the way to keep the peace. Well, now that if they're all off to college, maybe you can cut that cost and you won't even feel it, right? Because nobody's using it anyway. And you want to do that. Or if you could save money on your car loans or your interest that you're charged over here or over there, you know, so it can be general financial planning. And then the last place that people might is, in fact, spending some of the money that they were saving for retirement. You know, I had a family not too long ago where if they didn't pay for college, they were on track to retire at 62. When they did pay for college, they were on track to retire at 64. And they, you know, they said, that's fine. You know, we weren't planning on retiring till 65 or 67 even. You know, we're not in a hurry to retire. We enjoy our work. So they were happy to put a little less in retirement for a few years to make college happen. Other times I've seen families where to do something like that really blows up. And now instead of retiring at 68, they're retiring at 88.
Ooh, wow. You know,
which obviously is not a reasonable goal.
Wow, that's intense. So how did you get started with all this? Like, what was your inspiration to begin giving parents this kind of resource and help?
Right. So I'm a financial planner by training. So I've been doing financial planning, you know, pretty much my whole career since the 90s. And about 15 years ago, as college got more expensive, it became obvious that college was a piece that was a bigger challenge. You know, it was becoming a bigger piece of the pie where families really needed to work it out and understand it. And I realized that there was just not a lot of good information out there. And there's a lot you can do because it's getting more and more complicated. There's more and more types of aid, and, you know, they're adding things like loan forgiveness and graduated repayment schedules on loans. And, you know, every time they help, they start another program, which makes it more complicated, which makes, you know, now the average family, it's harder for them to understand how all the pieces are going to fit together. So as I got more involved in it, I got more and more questions, and, you know, more and more people. So I launched a podcast and started getting listeners. And then I started getting people calling me from all over the country, asking for help and on various ways and so forth. So that's kind of how I got into it. And it's something I really enjoy, and I can add a lot of value. Usually I can save a lot more than I cost, which
that's good.
Makes it an easy decision for most families. It's like, you know, if we work this out well, we'll get more aid or more scholarships or pay less in interest. That makes sense then to just go ahead and do it.
Yeah. That's great. So how can parents and families connect, get in contact with you? Where can they find your resources?
Right. So most of my stuff is at tamingthehighcostofcollege.com. So you can reach out through the website there with the contact us form or call the phone number that's right there on the website. Sign up for a free newsletter. There's a number of free resources. You can also obviously listen to the Taming the High Cost of College podcast, and you can get that however you get all your other podcasts, just like always. But we've got free reports, and there's a college money report that's available, scholarship guide for busy parents.
That's great.
A lot of free resources. And then, of course, you know, the other important thing to realize is when you're homeschooling, you've got to do all the stuff that the high school does on top of all the stuff that the average family needs to do. So there's a little bit of extra around creating transcripts for colleges that want to see some sort of educational transcript.
Right.
And getting involved in the testing. You know, a lot of families hear about the ACT or the SAT test because it's going on at the high school, or the high school makes them aware of it. Well, if you're homeschooled, obviously you got to track that stuff yourself. And yes, test optional is an option now, but it isn't necessarily the right option. Some families it is, some families it isn't. So now it's, again, another layer of complexity of some colleges really want tests still. Some scholarships still require testing. So I wouldn't automatically say I'm going test optional until you understand, you know, what the ramifications are. And some states it's still very embedded into what's going on, and other states it's being pushed out a lot more. So depending on where you live and which tests are available, you know, I'm not saying going test optional is wrong. I'm just saying, understand, you know, why you would do it one way versus the other.
Got it. That's awesome. This is all such good information. Things that I know when I was going to college, I did not have all this information. I did not know all these things. I went to my community college and I was like, I'll figure it out from there. And I don't think my parents knew either. So now that there's so many awesome resources and people like you who are there to walk people through this, it's fantastic. As we're wrapping up, Brad, what is one big takeaway you want to leave with families from our conversation today?
Right. Start your late stage planning earlier than you feel you need to, because I've had a lot of families tell me we started this too late. I've never, ever had anyone tell me we started this too early.
Oh, wow. It's,
right. So it used to be that college was kind of something you did at the end of the junior year and senior year. I'd like to recommend that most families pull that up at least a year. It's something you start end of sophomore year, work really hard at most of your junior year, and then a little bit in your senior year. Because if you spread it out, it's less stressful. Because that's one of the big thing takeaways from college these days is it's stressful on the students, it's stressful on the family. And if you spread it out, it becomes less stressful. And you're able to spend some time and learn how aid works and take advantage of the resources I'm offering and do a calculator to figure out what kind of aid you actually might qualify for and some of that kind of stuff. Whereas people that start later, they're kind of in hair on fire mode for a year and a half straight of, oh my God, we forgot to do this. And we're trying to do visits and testing and all the stuff all at the same time. And we always feel like we're behind.
Wow. Wow, that could be really stressful. Well, Brad, thank you so much for coming on today and just sharing all your knowledge and your wisdom. This is definitely an area that is so very important. I think we tend to focus in on the curriculum and the schooling, and then we forget that, oh my gosh, they're going to be going off to another right. school that I have to pay a lot of money for. And what are my options? And it's so great to be prepared.
Absolutely.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for coming on today.
If you love the conversations we're having here on the Homeschool Advantage podcast, follow or subscribe our podcast to stay in the loop and never miss this amazing content. And please highly consider taking a minute to leave a positive rating and review to help others like you discover this show. See you next time.